where you could get someone else, you know. I said, don't worry, there's someone else here. Don't worry, take it easy. So there was another guy that called me the night before who I led to Christ 27 years ago. And he called me out of the clear blue. He's a pastor now. He's been a pastor for several years. And he called me out of the blue, and I said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And so he said, nothing. I said, come to the breakfast. I might need you to tell your story. He said, sure. So he did. He told his story, and they were just blown away. I mean, he was in there for making bombs back, again, 1998, 9, looking at 20 years. And he was broken. He was a pastor. He was the black sheep of his family. His father was a pastor. And he just didn't want nothing to do with God, ran from God his whole life. And here he was 30 years old in jail and looking at 20 years. And he was saw some guys doing a Bible study. And he was almost in tears. And they said, hey, you look lost, man. He said, yeah. I said, why don't you join? I said, what are you doing? We're just looking at the Bible. He said, it's okay. He sat down. He heard the gospel again. And they invited him to Bible study. And he started coming. And he just came to Christ and was on fire for God. In fact, he's the only inmate that I know of in 28 years I've been there that led an officer to the Lord. He was just such a bright light in that jail. One of his jobs was buffing the floors in the units, in the unit he was in. And in the unit he was in, you could eat off that floor. I mean, it was beautiful. And the other inmates got mad at him, said, why are you doing that, man? Now they're going to think I got to do it like that. You know, what are you going to be like that for? You know, he getting all mad at him and stuff. He says, I'm doing it for the Lord. And you know what I thought about? That's the way we should do anything, right? You're going to do anything. You do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. And if you're going to do it as you're doing it unto the Lord, well, what do you put in, half, 20, 80%? You go all the way. Can I get an amen? No matter what you do, where you are, how you serve, you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, and you do it the best you can. And your light will shine so that others may see it and glorify your Father in heaven. Can I get an amen? So anyway, yeah, we had the breakfast, and it was awesome. And thank you again for your prayers, your support, because the whole intention is just to share the gospel with a lot of people that serve us and first responders. Again, the sheriff's department, fire, police, EMTs. Again, these are people that do good works, and they think they're good people. Well, they are. Humanly speaking, they're good people. But they're also sinners on their way to hell. Can I get an amen? And I can't think of nothing worse than for a policeman, firefighter, EMT to serve and protect the community, and then in the end hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. But that's what happens. We're not saved by good works. Can I get an amen? We're saved only by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, I do this every year. Like I say, it costs $5,000. Sometimes I break even. Sometimes I lose a few bucks. Sometimes I make a few bucks. But it's just, you know, if we don't pass the plate, it's not a fundraiser. You don't want to put a bad taste in people's unbelievers' mouths. You know, oh, not the Christian man, you're looking for money. We don't do it. Again, we just want to share the gospel, and that's what we do. So it went really well, and thank you. Last time I was here, talking about sharing the gospel. Again, we need to get on the ball. We need to start sharing the gospel. We were saved for a purpose. Can I get an amen? We are to let our light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We're to make people thirsty for God. And it's really important. So not long ago in the Daily Bread, I read this thing that I thought was pretty good. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in a lot of Western movies, I've been watching a lot of them for the last 5 years. I don't know. I just get into them. And a lot of them, and anytime there's a funeral or whatever, the people are in church. Anybody want to take a guess what song they're singing? Almost every movie. Gunsmoke, everybody. What? Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages almost every time. Now listen to this. Again, Daily Bread a lot long ago. James Morris was once described as an illiterate but warm-hearted layman. But God used him to draw Augustus Toplady to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Toplady, the 18th century author of the timeless hymn, Rock of Ages, described hearing Morris preach. Strange that I should be brought nigh unto God amidst a handful of God's people met together in a barn and under the ministry of one who could hardly spell his name. Surely this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous. Can I get an amen? Here was a guy preaching the gospel, couldn't even spell his name, all right? Hadn't been to school or nothing, 18th century. And he leads this lady to Christ, who ends up, you know, beautiful poetry, very smart, intelligent, writes the song Rock of Ages. We need to do that. You know, somebody led Billy Graham to the Lord. Somebody led a lot of great preachers to the Lord. And a lot of them were nobodies. You don't even probably know their name. But God wants to use us and reach people for the lost. So I don't know what else to do to get people motivated now to share the gospel, but I was thinking about one of the motivating factors that Jesus pulled or gave us was none other than hell. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Does anybody realize that? Over and over and over, he would speak about hell. And he started to clue people in the New Testament, about eternal life. Do you know that there's no mention of eternal life in the Old Testament? A lot of promises, commandments that promise long life, but nowhere do you see eternal life in the Old Testament. So Jesus comes on the scene to tell everybody, listen, there's a lot more going on than the here and now. Can I get an amen? There's a lot more going on. There is what is called eternal life, something people dream about. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think it's verse 9, it does mention that God has put the thought of eternity in the minds of men. He gives people the thought of it, because sooner or later, everybody realizes grandpa's not around anymore, grandma's gone, Uncle Arnt's gone, mom, dad's gone, you know. Sooner or later, everybody realizes, you know, the lights are going out. One out of one dies. And so the thought of eternal life enters into the mind. How many stories and books, poems have been written about the fountain of youth? You know, there's a lot of talk and thought about that because life is short. Sooner or later, we realize life is short, you know. Take a breath and it's gone. I mean, I'm going to be 68 in 2 months, and I'm telling you, I can remember yesterday I was 21. It just flies. It waits for no man. Time waits for nobody in this life. But imagine some place later on where there will be no more time. Have you ever thought about that? It's true. It's as true as me and you right here, right now. But the whole point of what Jesus was trying to get across in his ministry is there's a lot more than the here and now. And people don't think about it. They don't think about it. Maybe at the funeral they start to think about it. But they just don't want to think about it. But we need to. Because, you know, we get so caught up in being saved and life is great and, you know, life with God is so much better than life without God. And, you know, many times we're worshiping and praising and we're on the mountaintop with Jesus and his life is beautiful. But we forget, you know, what we were saved from. You know, we were saved from self. We were saved from sin. We were saved from hell. And we were saved from the wrath of God, which is all over the Bible. You know, again, if you read the back of the book, one day after the church is raptured, God is going to pour out his wrath, his fierce, intense anger on an unbelieving world. And it is not going to be pretty. Can I get an amen? So there are so many people who are lost, clueless, walking dead men, spiritually dead, walking aimlessly, wandering the face of the earth with no meaning to life, no reason to live, no purpose, no hope. and we have the answer. Can I get an amen? Paul says it this way, woe to me if I do not preach or proclaim the gospel. People need hope. Can I get an amen? They need a meaning to life. They need a reason to live. They need hope. And that's something that God gives us, and we have. But too many times, we forget about the others. And Jesus said, don't do that. Remember the Great Commission. Before he ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I commanded. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Again, at the end of the age of life as we know it. So, with that in mind, I want to look at a passage in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, and let's see what Jesus said about hell. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and we're just going to look at a few verses here and maybe one other passage. But this is how important it was to Jesus. Again, he talked more about hell than he did about heaven because he wants people to know that, listen, this life, yes, it is short, but this is not all there is. Everyone will either live forever or exist forever. Either they come to Jesus and have eternal life, or they die in their sin and they exist in a Christless eternity, a place where there's no grace. Eternal damnation, darkness, fire, brimstone. Not for a little while, but forever and ever, amen. So Jesus tells this story. It's not a parable. It appears to be a story because in most parables, there's no names. But in this story, there is. So let's pick it up, verse 19, Luke 16. And Jesus begins by saying, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine living and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a great chasm. The Greek word means nothing. There is nothing between us, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then the rich man said, then I beg you, Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come to this terrible place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Again, two men, one rich, one poor, die. Their bodies die, but their spirit and soul is still alive. All that to say again, there's a lot more than the here and now. The life that we know it here in the flesh ends to a degree here, but you, your spirit, soul, without flesh on, you are still alive. You still see, you still hear, speak, you are still alive. Or, if you don't know Christ, you are still existing. And you have all your senses. Again, only the body dies. We know this. The world does not. They think that when someone dies and goes in the ground, that's the end of the story. And you've seen it. You've probably been to funerals with people that have no hope and grieve. And they stare at the casket and go in and to that stone year after year after year, if not weekly or monthly sometimes, because they think their loved one is still there. No, the body might be still there if it's not turned to dust yet, but the person is not. Remember, I said this before, when someone dies, all that really dies is the body. When that happens, the spirit and soul, the person inside that shell, leaves the body and becomes like the elevator. He is either going up or down. Can I get an amen? We know this. The world does not. How important is it for us to share the gospel, the good news? Now, again, I told you before, the good news is really not good news unless it is good news. What I'm saying is if you tell somebody the gospel, Jesus bled and died, rose again, you need to receive him as your Lord and Savior and all this, you know, they may say, yeah, you know, but I'm doing okay, you know. If they don't know anything about hell, burning forever and ever, sin, they're saturated in it, there can be no sin in the presence of God. If they don't understand the bad news, how in the world are they going to understand the good news? Are you with me? That we have the law is good. The law doesn't save you, but the law is good because it shows you that you're a sinner. Can I get an amen? If you look at the law and you're honest, just the Ten Commandments, all right? Just that. Don't lie, don't steal, we can stop there. If you're honest, you have lied at some point and stolen at some point. And we can go on down the list. If you're honest, you look at that and say, well, how many of them do you get a break to burn in hell? Or to miss out on heaven? How many sins did Adam commit to get kicked out of the garden? This is not hot. One. How many will keep you out of heaven? One. The truth is, we've all got many, many, very many. Can I get an amen? And so does the world. But if they don't know this, then the good news doesn't really mean good news to them. Because some think when people die, everybody goes to heaven. Some people think there is no heaven. You know, you just go into, you know, dust I came from, dust I return, that's it. But how are they going to know? Well, God gave us his spirit, saved our souls to be his witnesses. Can I get an amen? He filled us with the Holy Spirit and gave us power to be his witnesses, to share the blessed gospel, the good news. And we need to do this. We're only here for a little while. We're told to store up treasure in heaven, to be fruitful. How do you do this? Well, one way is sharing the gospel. Can I get an amen? That's what he commanded. You know, I don't know about you, but the soul is so precious that both God and Satan are fighting over this. It doesn't really mean that much to us. We don't think about it as much. But the soul is so precious to God, he would send his son to die for your soul. Again, think how important that is to God. We don't think much of it. We need to. Because here's what Jesus said in the chapter right before chapter 16 of Luke. He said, if a man had 100 sheep and he lost one, he would put the sheep in the open pasture and go find that one lost sheep. And when he found it, he would come back rejoicing, saying, rejoice to me, I found the sheep. He said, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 that don't need any repentance. He did it with the woman's coins. Same thing. A woman, if she had 10 coins, she loses one. She sweeps it in, she finds it. She says, rejoice, I found it. She says, I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels. Who do you think might be in the presence of the angels? God. There is more joy over one sinner who repents. And he wants us to be thinking about that. He calls us to follow him. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I get an amen? We need to be in that mindset and see people that are lost. Like that kid Bob I told you about 27 years ago, one of the first converts I led to the Lord. Again, lost, wandering aimlessly, looking at a lot of time, had a lot of hatred in his heart. He was making homemade explosives. This is before, terrorist stuff and things like that, way before that. But he just had hatred for everybody. He was a black guy, but he wasn't just racial, didn't just hate whites. He hated blacks too. He hated everybody. So he had no hope. He's full of anger. He was wondering, why am I here? Why do I even exist? Life has no meaning. I'm going to die one day anyway. So he's got this hatred in him. He has no meaning, no reason, no hope. And I shared the gospel with him. And he came to faith. He's a pastor now. That's what God wants us to do. Why? Because hell is as real as me and you. And if we only had a glimpse of it like we will here, I know I've told you this before. I don't know if I've ever hated anybody that much to want to see them burn and scream forever and ever and ever. I don't know if I've hated anybody that much. I've joked and said, it'd be nice if some got a little dip in a lake of fire, but once you're in, you're in. There's no getting out. I don't hate anybody that much. Not even my worst enemy. And this is what Jesus said. Why? Because it's true. It's true. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Can I get an amen? Don't you think it's only right that we do the same? We do, because time is short. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know when the lights are going to go out. We know that they will. Unless we get raptured first, we know that it's going to happen, all right? So what are we here for? Well, Jesus said, I want you to share the gospel. And for the gospel to be good news, there's got to be some bad news. So don't forget the bad news. So again, this rich man wakes up in hell. He dies, wakes up in hell, and sees Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And again, he screams, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus over here that he could just dip his finger in water and just cool off my tongue. I mean, can you imagine the pain this guy's going through? For I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham basically said, kid, you made your bed, you're sleeping in it. You died in your sin. I'm sorry. And besides this, anyone who wants to go over to help you, they can't. And none, I repeat, none can come over from there to us. So much for purgatory. I don't know how Anybody can read this and dream up some purgatory thing that we can pray people out. Cross the guy's palm enough times and we'll pray him out of there, all right? You know, it sounds like a gimmick to me, but Jesus said nobody gets out. It's appointed unto men to die once. After this, judgment. And again, there's only two ways to die. You either die in the faith or you die in your sin. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. There is nothing in between. How important. Now, I know everyone here has made a profession of faith in Jesus, and you're on your way to heaven. I know that, and so am I, and thank God. Our faith is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. He bought us, purchased our sins with his blood, and paid for not some, many, most, but all of them. Our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been paid for. Can I get an amen? All right, so yes, we rejoice. We it's great. Life is good. Praise the Lord. He holds them in hand. No one can snatch them, and they will never perish. That's good for me and you. But he said, I don't want you to just think about me and you. I want you to seek and to save. Follow me, because I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we're not going to save anybody. I'm not saying that. I've never saved anybody. Neither have you. Only Jesus saves. Can I get an amen? But we still need to share the gospel, the good news. And again, the good news is not good news unless it's some bad news. So we need to share that. Because again, life is short. And if you want to store up treasure in heaven, do what Jesus said. Pray for the lost. Pray for those you know. The grocery store, the waitress that you tip, and in the workplace, wherever, family members, wherever, pray for them. And when opportunity presents, share the gospel with them. Leave tracks. I don't pay any bills without putting a track in it. I don't leave tips without a track, you know. And when I can share the gospel, I do, because it is that important. Jesus commanded me. Again, that's what the last marching orders from the commander-in-chief to the Christian army. As you are going, make disciples. And it's not just get them to say the prayer, but teach them to observe all that I commanded. And I tell you, when I do that, I find great joy. I think you do too. But I don't raise your hand, but when's the last time you led someone to the Lord? Are you teaching anyone now, mentoring anyone that you've led to the Lord? You know, think about it. We still have time. We want to store up treasure in heaven. We want to be fruitful. And again, those that have put their faith in Christ and the word of God, which is the seed, is fallen on the good soil. It will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So, you know, we want to be fruitful because he asked us to. And we want to store up treasure in heaven. Because while we came in naked and we'll leave naked, there is something we can bring to heaven, and that is some souls, people we shared the gospel with. It's true, Jesus will save them and Jesus will bring them to heaven. But he wants to use us, and he's asked us to share the gospel. So again, this guy who dies in his sin, he still has feelings. He can see Abraham. He can talk to him. He can hear him. He is still alive. He still exists. I don't want to say alive. He's existing. And he sees Abraham, who is alive. And Abraham. And Lazarus, rather. And so, again, he asked him to come, cool off his tongue. He said, nobody can get over there. No, you know. Once he realizes his dilemma, he begs and screams, then, Father Abraham, I beg you, send Lazarus to my father's house, because I got 5 brothers, and let him testify to them, lest they also come to this terrible place of torment. Again, not only God wants us to share the gospel with the lost, but the dead also. Do you have any friends that died in their sin? Can you hear them screaming? go to my father's house. Tell my brothers and sisters. You know, there was a minister that spoke at an evening service at a Baptist church I was attending when I got out of jail. And I went to the evening service, and I forget what the message was, but it was on sharing the gospel, of course, but there was a part of it that he said that I never forgot. It's not in the Bible, but he said that he had this dream that he was going into heaven, all right? There's a line going into heaven. There's a line coming out of heaven, all right? Some heard, welcome, come into the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. While others heard, depart from me, I never knew you. And so in this line he's standing, and as he's going in, he sees people he knew that he never shared the gospel with. And as they were walking past him, they looked at him like, you know, and there were no words, but it was almost like they were saying, why didn't you tell me? Now, again, it's not in the Bible. It was just something that I shared one night. And, you know, that has stuck with me for 40 years. I still think about it. Because we can share the gospel. Can I get an amen? We should share the gospel. Again, a nod. Amen. Anyone out there alive? Show me this alive. Give me a nod or an amen. We need to share it because the time is short. Yes, we're going to heaven. Yes, we're going to worship God forever. There will be no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering. Jesus himself will be there. Yes, it's going to be beautiful. But what are we doing here and now? Well, yes, we come and worship. That's great. But at some point, we got to depart to serve. And a good servant is observant. He or she sees a need and runs to the occasion. Why are you so down? What's going on? I do that in the jail. I'm running into units. I see people broken. You know, they lost their family, their house, their job. The good got the families gone. Everything. And you look down, man. What's going on? Yeah, you know. I say, where are you with God? And it's always the answer is always not where I should be. So I start talking about the Lord and invite them to Bible study. And most of them come. And I share the gospel with the hopes that Jesus will give them his spirit, open their eyes, that the seed will fall on good soil and bring forth fruit again, some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Don't forget the lost. Don't forget where you came from. Because everybody is either going to live forever or exist forever. And again, there's a lot more going on than the here and now. A lot. Remember what Paul wrote in Colossians 3:2? Set your mind on things above. We do that. Yes, we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to praise him. Probably, you know, hallelujah. The only thing separating us right now is that last breath, and bring it on. You know, I know where I'm going. But are you going to go alone? Or are you going to do what Jesus said and share the gospel that others too may come? Remember, somebody prayed for you. I told you when I got out of jail and went back to live with my mom and dad, I cleaned out my old bedroom, and it was this oak desk with a mirror on top. And in the bottom of the mirror was a little card, little tiny small card with flowers on it. And I opened it up, and it said, I'm praying for you, Danny. And it was nice writing, probably from a girl, and a real nice printed sentence. And it wasn't signed. I don't know who it was. And so I got this when I was 17 years old. I got in a bad car accident. I got hit by a car a month later, and I had spent a few months in the hospital. So I got this card, and I wasn't ready for God. I just stuck it in the mirror. Yeah, okay, fine, you know. But here it was, 11 years later, I'm out of jail, and I've come to faith, and I saw somebody was praying for me. I don't know who it was. Do you think the prayer was answered? Yeah. Somebody was praying for us. And we need to at least be praying for others. Again, there are people in your sphere of influence, you know, that you work with. Again, grocery stores, restaurants you visit, whatever. Pray for them. Let them know you care about them. And because their dead relatives who died in sin are screaming from the grave, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Now, notice what happens. He begs to Abraham, send Lazarus then back to from the dead to my father's house, because I get five brothers. Let them testify about him, you know, so that they can come here. And Abraham said to him, listen, they got Jesus' Bible. You know what Jesus' Bible was? Right here. Moses and the prophets. He didn't have a New Testament. He had Moses and the prophets, or what is commonly referred to as the law and the prophets. That is the Old Testament. It's got laws, it's got prophets, or Moses, the Pentateuch, and the prophets. So he's saying they got the Bible, which is, back then all they had was the Old Testament. But it's enough. It's enough. Is Jesus in the Old Testament? Almost every page. Almost every page. Every single page talks about Jesus. Even the tabernacle. If you were up in the sky, looking down at the temple, you would see a brazen laver, priest washes his hands, a brazen altar where they offer the sacrifice, and then inside this room would be table of showbread, candlesticks, and a little altar of incense, Holy of Holies. But if you were up in the sky looking down, it's shaped like a cross. Coincidence? No. No, he's all over the place. Abraham offered his son Isaac. He was just about ready to plunge the knife in. But right before that, as they're walking up to Mount Moriah, or Mount Horeb, as they're walking up, the kid says, Dad, we got the fire, I got some wood, but, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. Now, none showed up until the very last second, because the kid's bound on the altar and he's ready to plunge it in. And he hears the voice, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay thy hand upon the child. And he looked, and the ram was caught in the thicket, and God provided. He named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Can I get an amen? I mean, Jesus is all over the Bible, everywhere in the Old Testament. And so Abraham simply says, listen, they got Jesus' Bible. They got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. No, they're not going to read the Bible. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. They'll have an inward change of mind that will result in an outward change of behavior. They will walk in the opposite direction. And Abraham said, sorry. But even if someone rises from the dead, if they don't believe Moses in the Bible, Moses and the prophets, they don't believe the Jesus Bible, even if one rises from the dead, they're not going to repent. How important it is us to share the word of God. A little, a lot, a lot, amen. You know, we have the Bible, and God has given us his spirit so we can understand it, but there are others who are out there that need to understand, and so we need to pray. We need to pray, God, send forth your spirit, open that waitress's eyes, open my son's eyes, open my nephew, open my uncle, my aunt, open their eyes, give your spirit, and then share the gospel, share the word of God so that it falls on good soil. Can I get an amen? When we ask things that are in accordance with God's will, it's going to happen. Can I get an amen? He said, ask and you shall receive. It will happen. It might not happen that day or tomorrow, but it'll happen. And so we need to pray. And again, we need to share the gospel. We need to. We need to share the good news. But don't forget, the good news is not really good news unless we share the bad news too. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go out there and scream, turn or burn, you know, fire and brimstone coming. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, at some point they need to realize, have you ever sinned? And, you know, people I've run into, nice people, they say, well, you know, I've never murdered anybody and I've never committed adultery. Like, that's what you got to do to be a sinner. You with me? No. Sin is anything short of perfection. And when you define it and help them understand that, then they have to say, well, yeah, I have sinned. A little, a lot, a lot. Well, I got good news. First you got to share the bad news, remember. The bad news is, yes, you've sinned, but it also gets worse. The wages of sin is separation. We need to share that. You're going to be separated from God. And you don't want to do that because you're going to either exist forever or live forever. So after you share that, then the good news becomes good news. Can I get an amen? You know, I got good news. God so loved the world, he gave his only son who took your beating, shed his blood to wash away all your sins. And all he says is, believe on my son, and you will have, not might have, you will have eternal life. We need to share that. Again, we come in week after week, we worship, we praise the Lord, but we're here for a reason. With that great privilege comes a responsibility. Can I get an amen? You know, we should be filling this church. We should try. It's not us, I know. It's Jesus who's going to do it. But all I'm saying is he wants to use us. All I'm saying is be available. Be ready. Be of the right mind. You know, go to prayer meeting. How many attended prayer meeting? Oh, you had a prayer breakfast? I mean, men's breakfast? When you have your prayer meeting, again, there should not only be 3 or 4 or 5, which is usually the case. You should all be there. Because you have loved ones you care about, right? Would you want to see them burning and screaming in hell? No, I know you don't. Then take this seriously. Because that's what Jesus did. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because it's real. And he's saying, you know, have a heart for those that you know. And again, I'm not telling you you need to go save them because you can't. You're not going to save anybody. Neither am I. Or Nathan, but Jesus will, and all he says is, share, you know, pray for them and share the gospel and let them see the light. Remember, he said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a candle and put it under a pail. No, they put it on the lampstand so it can light up the house. So you too, let your light so shine that others may see your good works. You know, we do good works, by the way, good deeds, not to be saved. We do them because we are saved, right? When you do good deeds, you do good works, you know, when they see that, they will glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Do you believe that? Say yes or not, you know? Yeah. He wants to use us. We want to be fruitful. We want to store up treasure in heaven. We're neither moth nor rust. Thing can corrupt or rust away. You know, again, that's what he wants us to do. So, again, I just remind you, this is what he said about hell. One more little quick passage in Mark. This is something else he said about hell. which is in Mark's account in chapter 9. Jesus put it this way, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." You know, I often think of this verse when I see these, cross-dressers talking to kids in kindergarten. I'm thinking, dude, you are playing with fire, man. You are playing with fire. Don't do that. Anyway, Jesus went on to say in verse 43, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into a fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. For it is better to enter into life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Again, this is not me talking. This is Jesus. If you got a problem with this, please, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with Jesus. I know you don't, and I'm sorry to bring this to your remembrance and stuff, but it's only to hopefully motivate you to share the gospel. We're commanded to do this. Now, again, I know only Jesus saves, and I know we all know he chose some before the foundation of the world. Yes, that's all true, but he still tells us to fish. He still says, "I want you to fish. I still want you to share the gospel." Now, we either do or we don't. And if you've gotten a little slack, as I have at times, and other friends, you know, we need to turn around. We need to really start thinking this way. God wants us to share the gospel. And people can be saved. I know not all are going to be saved. I know broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many there be that enter therein. But it also says few there be that find it. And we need to help them, show them where it is. Can I get an amen? Again, we need to share the gospel. And just like this guy who couldn't even spell his name, preaching in a barn, led this very smart woman to write the song Rock of Ages. And she just was amazed that a guy who couldn't even spell his name in a barn shared the gospel with her, and she got saved and said, "This is fabulous. You don't need a lot of brains to be a preacher. Look at me. I told you I graduated high school by the skin of my teeth. I went through a dummy program for losers. I went to school from 8 to 12 and then went to work, and I got credits for it. That's how I finished school." True story. But God called me to preach, and I have to. I have to. I ain't got no choice because I really believe this. And I really don't want people to burn in hell. Now, they're going to, but I'm going to reach as many as I can. And if they tell me where to go, that's all right. I don't have a problem with that. But when they do come to faith, I tell you, has anybody found any greater joy than leading someone to Christ? I mean, if you have, tell me. Tell me right now. Clue me in, because I don't know anything greater. I don't know anything greater than seeing someone. Sometimes they're in tears of joy. Sometimes, you know, but when they come to faith and they realize all their sins have been paid for and they don't have to worry about what's going to happen because of what Jesus did, it's like the greatest thing in the world. Now, if you're missing that joy or haven't had it in a while, you've entered to worship. You're soon going to depart to serve. And I remind you, as a servant of Christ, a good servant, observant. When you see somebody down and out, you can see something's wrong, go over there. Say, hey, I noticed you're kind of down. What's wrong? Something going on? Who are you? Well, I attend a church up the street. Can I pray for you or anything? You okay? You know, listen to him. He might just want someone to listen to him. Listen to him. Talk about the price of tea in China, whatever, whatever. And at some point say, you know, I was there. Share your testimony. They can't argue with that. It's true. You don't need a college degree to do this. Share your story. I was down. I was out. But God came in and changed my life forever. Really, where do you go to church? I go right up here, Grace Community, right up on County Road. Tell them what time. You know, do that. Not for me, but for him. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for you sending your son to take away all my sins. Thank you for giving me your spirit so that I could see the kingdom of God. Thank you for causing me to be born again so I could enter the kingdom of God. Thank you for your spirit who convicts me when I'm even thinking wrong, when I'm going to say something wrong, and even when I do something wrong, your spirit convicts me and helps me turn and get on my knees and get right again. And now I pray for opportunities, Lord. Show me. Show me. I know they are all around me, but don't let me be so blind that I miss them. Show me that person, that woman, that man, that child, that whoever, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, whoever it is that I need to talk to, and hear them out and tell them the answer. We ask from grateful hearts in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.